This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, a magnificent Monday. I'm not just excited for this show tonight. I'm so unreasonably excited for this week. It was one of those days. Have you ever had one of these days before where you're on the way to work on a Monday and you're thrilled about it? Those are very rare in this life, I admit that, but I'm excited. Why am I excited? Well, let me lay it all out for you right now, at least as much as I possibly can. First of all, Jasmine Crockett is running for Senate in Texas. And actually, I am going to discuss that to open the show. I'll explain in a moment. Jasmine Crockett is running for Senate in Texas. It's amazing. I'm not so sure we're not already in a kind of a soft civil war in the country. That might be a little heavy, but we're going to talk about that. Medal of Honor Monday is an hour from now. I'll just go ahead and give the game away. Yesterday was December 7th, 1941, and had a little Pearl Harbor talk with the boys. I'll probably do a mini, very mini Pearl Harbor talk with you, kind of centered around Medal of Honor Monday. We're going to talk about people making $300K a year, living paycheck to paycheck. All these people in Congress are retiring. The D.C. police chief is stepping down. Threats on ICE are up. Someone deep dove down to an ancient shipwreck. All that and so much more coming up tonight. And, of course, emails and things like that coming up on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. And finally, I can't take it anymore. I have to do history. I'm so excited to talk to you about the Rhodesian-Bush War. It starts tomorrow. My only disclaimer is, unless there is some gigantic earth-shattering event of some kind, tomorrow night, starting in hour two, you, me, we're going to talk. Rhodesian-Bush War history. It's going to be several nights. It might be two, it might be three, it might bleed over into next week. And the reason it's going to be so long is most people don't have even a small base of knowledge about the area or the war. And so we're going to have all kinds of setup. I'm so excited to talk about it. And there's so much of it that is going to relate to today. Anyway, it's going to be a magnificent week on the Jesse Kelly Show. Now let's focus on something that, yes, it makes me laugh. And, of course, we're going to have insane amounts of inappropriate fun at her expense. Jasmine Crockett, the one we mock all the time, the one who pretends to be ghetto, the black congresswoman from Texas, she has decided she's going to run for United States Senate in the state of Texas.
People be texting.
And it looks like right now, her primary opponents are all gone. She had a primary opponent. He dropped out. Now, that probably doesn't concern you, and you're probably saying right now she's not going to win. Yes, but I just wanted to talk to you about a couple things first. One, she's probably not going to win. It has happened multiple times in history. You never say never when it comes to political races. What do I mean by that? Republicans are in the middle of a primary. Looks like Ken Paxton's probably going to win that primary. I don't know, but it looks that way right now. But let's assume it's Ken Paxton, just for the sake of argument right now. What if Ken Paxton gets arrested right before the election? Believe me, I don't think he's going to. I'm not calling him a criminal, but what if he gets caught cheating on his taxes? What if he gets in a terrible car wreck, right? You never know. I never know. But let's jump past all that because that's kind of a one in a million event type thing. Why would somebody like Jasmine Crockett even bother running for Senate in a red state? That woman would probably have some trouble in a lot of blue states, definitely purple states. She's so nakedly anti-white racist, and she's just just very unappealing outside of very small circles. Why even bother if you're Jasmine Crockett? Well, this is a conversation we've had before when we talk about people running for president. Always remember something. Anybody in the public eye who makes their living in the public eye, they are trying to increase their brand. Now, for the sake of simplicity here, we're just going to make it about how many people know your name. We'll call that the size of your brand. How many people know your name? If you make your living in the public eye, I'll make it about me, radio, TV, maybe you're a movie star, a musician, maybe you're a politician. So much of your career is going to be based on the size of your brand. When we get too involved in the minutia of politics, for instance, she can't win the Texas Senate seat, we can convince ourselves that this is all so pointless. She's going to run for Senate and she's going to lose. Why would you even bother? She's going to lose. But you're missing the point of it. To run for a Senate seat now, it involves $50 million, probably more than that. There have been, in Texas, $100 million Senate races, but let's cut that in half. She'll raise more than 50, but let's call it $50 million. Now, let me ask you, what's your name? What's your full name? What if you gave me $50 million? Let's say you had it at your disposal, and my job was to make sure more people knew your name. How many more people could I tell about you with $50 million? Television commercials, social media ads, bumper stickers, mailers, t-shirts. If no one knows who you are, maybe you're just listening right now, maybe you're turning wrenches as we speak, I could make a whole lot of people know about you for $50 million. Jasmine Crockett is in the public eye. She's probably never going to be elected president unless they start deciding that on the length of your fake eyelashes. She's not going to be president. She's going to kind of talk about it with her friends.
People be sexting.
But Jasmine Crockett needs her brand to increase as fast as her waistline has. Jasmine Crockett is about to be a much bigger name by running and losing a Senate race. Don't dismiss that. Because we tend to think about things logically, and because when we think about politics, you probably think about them the right way to think about them. Hey, how could I help my state? How could I help my city? How could I help my country? But remember, we're mostly dealing with soulless monsters here who never think in those terms at all. For Jasmine Crockett, it's just about her brand size. Everything is going to be about her brand size. How can I get more people to know my name? How can I get more television invites here, more podcast invites there, maybe a bigger book deal? You know what? Actually, let's drill down on that, and then we'll move on and we'll talk about the soft civil war because I don't want to spend a long time on this. For a book deal, a major publisher, we'll call it Simon & Schuster because Simon & Schuster is the one who published my book, The Anti-Communist Manifesto, that's available at jessekellybook.com. What, Chris? It's in paperback now, too. Not that I'm trying to get you to give that to people for Christmas. No, I'm kidding. It's whatever. Buy it or don't buy it. It doesn't matter. But Simon & Schuster, remember that they will write checks to people before they write a book. It's called an advance, a book advance. Now, these sums of money can be huge, can be six figures, can be seven figures. Imagine someone stroking you $2 million check before the book is actually published. They actually do it in stages, by the way. They'll give you a portion when you turn in the manuscript and a portion after the editing. But either way. Now, right now, I know you know who Jasmine Crockett is, but you're a political nerd like me. Does your normie neighbor know who she is? Probably not. Let's say right now, Jasmine Crockett, just a guess, could command a
$200,000 book advance. All it takes is one Senate run with her face plastered all over the television. Democrats will nationalize this race. They will do everything they can to increase her brand so they can try to get her into that Senate seat. When Jasmine Crockett is done getting curb stomped in her Senate race by whatever Republican wins the primary here, that $200,000 book advance she was going to get just became $750. Now, do you think it's worth it? Now, that is not necessarily about Jasmine Crockett. That's about all these people, Republican and Democrat, who run for these big seats. You know they're not going to win, and you sit around scratching your head saying, why would they do it? Why would he do it? Why would she do it? That's why. It's about the size of your brand and your eyelashes. Glad to have you here, Jasmine. Cannot wait to cover this race in depth. Now let's step off of the goofy stuff for a minute. Before we get to Medal of Honor money on Pearl Harbor, I want to talk about our situation in the country. It's going to kind of be about immigration, but it's going to be about our division. Before we get to that division, memories. Memories are the greatest gift you can give anybody. We learned this a long time ago in our family that doesn't matter what that gift is. New pair of sneakers he wanted. A new television. Hey, can I have a television? Something like that. That stuff's fine. But that stuff fades away fast, doesn't it? They grow out of their shoes. The TV goes bad. Those hard copy pictures you have, those home movies you have, digitizing them never goes away. Your kids, kids, kids should be able to look at you, look at your father, look at your mother, see those home movies. That's powerful. Legacy Box will digitize that for you. You understand that they're doing a $9 a tape special right now? This is the time to give a memory that will last generations. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, absolutely fantastic Monday. It's going to be such a good week. I'm so excited. Now, before I get to my excitement, I do want to have a kind of a heavier talk because of what's in the news right now. The topic of immigration, illegal immigration, drug boats, everything else. It's all in the news right now. And maybe you have seen, heard, possibly even participated in conversations and arguments before about another civil war in this country. Maybe you've seen these comments online. Maybe you and your friends have talked about it. We're going to have a civil war. Maybe you've argued with Democrats about it. We need a civil war. Maybe you want a civil war. Let's just have a civil war. Okay. Well, I would caution you against ever wishing for something like that because there's nothing worse in the world than a civil war, and you should do just about anything to avoid having one. We'll learn more about that during the Rhodesian Bush War talk tomorrow night. But either way, what if we're already in one? Remember this about our Civil War, our first and, Lord willing, only Civil War. When did it start? Most people who have any knowledge of it will say, well, it started at Fort Sumter. It started when they tried to get the Union out of Fort Sumter and they attacked Fort Sumter right off of Charleston, South Carolina. Jesse, I've been there. It was Fort Sumter. Okay. Always difficult to exactly pinpoint when a war started, but the Civil War began a long time before Fort Sumter. That may be when the cannons started firing, when people started dying, but the Civil War began a long time before that. In a huge part, just to break it down in an extremely simple way, a huge part of what started the Civil War was certain areas of the country saw themselves not just as being separate from other areas, but they were openly hostile to the other areas. This, of course, I'm talking about the North and the South. If you were in the North, you not only saw yourself as being separate, you saw these Southern states as being hostile, foreign places. And then same thing in the South. You saw the North as being a separate place, a hostile place. And that eventually bled over, if you'll pardon the pun, into things like Bleeding Kansas, where roving gangs of people, ideological people, were killing each other because they thought they were attacking a domestic foreign enemy. This all took place before a single cannon was fired at Fort Sumter in South Carolina. The Civil War was here a long time before that. Now, I'm going to play something for you. And let me make a couple statements before I play this. People who come into the country illegally should be deported. People who overstay their visa and now are just here illegally should be deported. The border should be secured so nobody can come here illegally. All right, that was what, three sentences? Four sentences? I don't know, I went to community college. Do you understand that none of those sentences were partisan? You realize that? That those aren't American sentences, conservative sentences, anti-communist sentences, not Republican sentences, not Democrat sentences. You could take those sentences and you'd probably have to translate, and you could walk into any government office in any country in the history of the world and say those sentences, and as long as you had the appropriate translation, the sane people there would be all, well, yeah, of course. You have to stop people from coming into your country illegally. When you find someone in your country illegally, you have to deport that person. You have to get them out of your country. This is basics. Basics. Now, we have been so conditioned in this society by relentless communist propaganda to think that those sentences are even remotely controversial. They're not controversial at all. It have never been controversial. But we are in a very dangerous, a very scary place as a country. We have two major political parties, and believe me, I'm going to get to the uselessness of the low-T GOP in a moment. I will. You're going to have to bear with me on that. But one of the two major political parties in the United States of America disagrees with every one of those sentences. Wrap your mind around that. More importantly, how do we overcome that as a nation? Can we overcome that as a nation? I'm going to play something for you. It's man, it hit me on, I think it was Saturday when I listened to it. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday, a manic Monday, Chris. That was an 80s song. That was a great song. That's a great song. It is a great song anyway. Remember, you can email the show your love, your hate, your death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Medal of Honor Monday coming up about a half hour from now. Now, I'm going to play this for you. And you know what kills me? This is not going to shock you. It's not going to surprise you. Let me go ahead and spoil it. This is Mamdani, the video I'm about to play for you. He's the incoming mayor of the richest, most powerful city in the United States of America, probably the most important city on planet Earth. And I'm going to play you something, and you are going to be so conditioned, I am so conditioned, to accept that this is the modern Democrat Party, you're probably just going to shrug and be like, yeah, I'm not surprised. But man, it hit me where we are when I heard this.
As mayor, I'll protect the rights of every single New Yorker. And that includes the more than 3 million immigrants who call this city their home. But we can all stand up to ICE if you know your rights. If you encounter ICE, these are the things that every New Yorker should know. First, ICE cannot enter into private spaces like your home, school, or a private area of your workplace without a judicial warrant signed by a judge. That looks like this.
If ICE does not have a judicial warrant...
It goes on for a minute. I don't want to play the whole thing just because I'm already bored and because I'm still just, honestly, a little bummed. That's where we are as a country now. One of the two major political parties is putting out PSA videos online to ensure illegals can remain in the United States of America. That's where we are. Ilhan Omar, you are well aware of who she is. Her father was a colonel in a communist army that committed mass genocide in Somalia. So, of course, our suicidal politicians decided all those people should come here. But she didn't just come here. She came here and found a way to get elected into the United States House of Representatives. This is a woman who should be fighting over a bag of rice in Somalia while trying to avoid gang rape. Instead, she luxuriates in the United States of America. She's a multi-millionaire here. She lives in the lap of luxury. And how grateful is she?
What do you make of this argument of failure to assimilate and sort of ruining America? How do you understand this?
I mean, when I think about Stephen Miller and his white supremacist rhetoric, it reminds me of the way the Nazis described Jewish people in Germany.
Being yanked out of one of the biggest dumps on the planet, asking her to assimilate, she compares it to the Nazis. She's not just here, she's a member of Congress in good standing, Democrat Party. I'll play you another one. You don't know who this person is because she's a state rep in Maine, but also Somali. Her name is Mani Abdi. Clearly, you'll hear from the way she talks, a young woman, but a Somali woman. Again, I want to stress that women are treated worse than cattle in Somalia. Worse than cattle. It is an awful, awful place. She, her family, pulled from that hellhole, brought into the United States of America, and now she is an elected politician in this country. She has air conditioning, central heat, a refrigerator, a car with Bluetooth. Play some music for her. Is she grateful to be here?
So coming into the States, everything from the snow to, you know, the housing, the homes that we were all of a sudden occupying, everything was a shock, honestly. Every day was something new, and I'm like, oh my God, this is just getting worse. Yeah, so.
So what state did you guys land, first of all?
Kansas.
Kansas City.
Of all places, yeah. It was like a boot camp for Maine, basically.
Oh, really?
I'll play the last 15 seconds. Kansas. It was like boot camp. She just got here from Somalia. She complains about Kansas? You're from Somalia and you complain about Kansas?
Yeah, because it's just like, right, like, I mean, anyone who lives in Maine knows Maine and has ever visited Kansas, they will know what I'm talking about. It's just a lot
interesting
to deal with as a person of color, honestly, yes. Or a black person.
How do we continue with millions of these people, not just in the country, with Democrats trying to bring in more and Democrats doing everything within their legal power to keep these people here? Has the Civil War already begun and we just don't want to acknowledge it? And maybe the worst part of all this is the GOP response to it. We would like to believe that there is an opposition party of anti-communists who are trying to fix these problems, close the border, deport these people, right these wrongs. We would like to believe that. And of course, there are some in there. But I'm going to play you some audio. And I want you to understand that this person I'm playing, he's a GOP politician. And he is not a politician from a purple state where he has to walk a tightrope to get elected. He's not from Maine, not even Alaska. He is a GOP politician from one of the reddest states in the United States of America. He now sits in the United States Senate. You probably already have your blood pressure up over the disgusting barbarian foreigners, the ungrateful hags we've brought into this country. Would you like to know what red states are sending to Washington, D.C. in order to fight back against this?
I think all of us need to wake up every morning, look in the mirror and say, what are we doing? What am I doing specifically today to make this country a better country, to make all of our immigrants feel more welcome?
That's John Curtis, United States Senator from the state of Utah. Utah is so red, they could elect somebody like me. You believe that? You know that? If you got through a primary in the state of Utah, and you could if you were a hardcore right winger, you would be elected to the Senate no matter what if you had an R next to your name. Do you want to know how somebody like me could win a Republican primary in the state of Utah? Well, that's the problem, you see. It would involve Republican voters getting off the couch and going to vote in a primary. But because they don't, the establishment DC swamp class buys these primaries because people are so lazy and apathetic in these red states. And so we don't ever get anti-communists from red states. We get John Thune. We get Lindsey Graham. We get John Curtis. We get John Cornyn, Mike Rounds, Cassidy. I could go on and on and on down the list. As we are invaded from all four corners of the planet with the communists bringing in as many barbarians as they possibly can. The barbarians get here and don't even pretend to like the place. They call it boot camp. They call us all Nazis. We are begging for someone to oppose the whole thing. And what do we get? John freaking Curtis in the losers in the GOP. Headline, no U.S. citizens. Meet the IT firms discriminating against Americans. It's an article from the Free Beacon. Here's one company right here. Quote, we embrace people of any race, ethnicity, national origin, religion, gender identity, and sexual orientation. This is a direct quote from the article. This particular job, however, would not be open to a very large group of people, citizens of the United States. Your wonderful country, my wonderful country, is being handed over to foreign barbarians because we are already in a soft civil war. Democrats have declared war on this country, and the GOP not only doesn't seem interested in fighting right now, frankly, they seem interested in helping them. I'll wrap this up in a moment, then we're going to get off of this because I was in a great mood. I just put myself in a bad mood. Before we do that, let's get you off all that pain. You know, it is what? November 8th? You know that you could be pain-free by the year 2026? You know how Relief Factor works, right? It's drug-free. It's got a unique formula of natural ingredients. Well, what's it do? What's this supplement do? It works with your body's natural response to the inflammation. The inflammation is why your back hurts every day. It's why your knee hurts all the time. It's why your elbow hurts. Stop accepting it. You don't have to accept it. Relief Factor is here to make sure of that. 3 weeks of it is $19.95. They tell you, just try it. They're not trying to sign you up for life. They say, try it for 3 weeks. Go to relieffactor.com. Or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. You're about to be pain-free. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. Of course, Medal of Honor Monday coming up in 10 minutes from now. If you miss any part of the show, download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's check in with Scott Bessent. He went on CBS Face the Nation. What are all these wonderful imports doing when they get here?
The initial fraud was discovered
by the IRS, for which I'm the acting commissioner, is discovered by IRS Criminal Investigations Unit. This was not an endogenous thing that the state of Minnesota decided. We had to go in and clean up the mess for them, and this is part of the continued cleanup. A lot of money has been transferred from the individuals who committed this fraud, including those who donated to the government, governor, donated to Representative Omar, and donated to A.G. Ellison, but they've been transferred to something called MBSs. These are money, the Bureau services, and they are wire transfer organizations that are outside the regulated banking system. And that money has gone overseas, and we are tracking that.
They get here and pillage the place. And I'm going to try to finish this on a good note, because then we're going to move off of this subject. One thing I am enjoying greatly is watching the communists attack Joe Biden because he can no longer defend himself. And here's what I mean. You know what the Biden administration did. You know why they did it. We've talked about it a million times. Joe Biden was not a functional adult. He was surrounded by true committed Maoists like Anita Dunn, Victoria Nuland, Lisa Monaco, all these types. And these Maoists took the opportunity, because the president was a cadaver, to do all the things that 20-year-old college radical would do given the powers of the office of the presidency, because Joe Biden wouldn't stop them, couldn't stop them. He just sat there drooling on himself. Now, that would be bad except for the fact that Joe Biden has been a jerk and a swindler for the entirety of his career in politics. Every single step of the way, he's used his position to enrich himself and his family. And he's always been mean about it, just a jerk. So I'm really enjoying things like this. Biden, this is a headline from the New York Post. Biden was warned his soft on immigration policies would cause chaos, but he ignored it, a damning memo reveals. First of all, I'll get back to that soft on immigration headline here in a moment. Second of all, they're all just blaming Joe now. Joe Biden is so unpopular, so poorly thought of, and yet still so unable to defend himself that now every unpopular thing about Joe Biden's administration, most of which I'm sure he didn't have anything to do with, now that's all just getting dumped in his lap, and I find that to be absolutely hilarious. But we're not going to end on that note. We're going to end on this note. If you are anybody on the right, in fact, forget on the right. If you are a functioning human being and you still believe that Democrat policies, especially when it came to open borders, were, quote, soft on immigration, I genuinely want you to go get checked out, do an IQ test, get some professional help mainly, possibly even get yourself checked into a facility so they can see if there's problems with your mind, because you are a moron if you think that they tripped and fell and accidentally, out of the kindness of their hearts, happened to import 20 million people in 4 years. They created an app so foreigners could schedule their invasion into the country. They took billions with a B of your money and flew American jets to foreign countries and filled them up with foreigners and flew foreigners into the country. And once they got them into the country, they took billions of your money and wrote checks to these NGOs, and they handed the foreigners to the NGOs, and the NGOs spent 4 years filling up every small town in middle America with as many foreigners as humanly possible, and they didn't do it because they're just too nice. They're soft on immigration. Oh, they're just a little bit naive. I bet if they really knew what they were doing, they would regret that. Can we stop with this pathetic childlike mentality when it comes to dealing with communists, because the childlike mentality when it comes to dealing with communists is as responsible for the rise of communism as the actual communists are. Thinking that they're just kind of naive, they're just soft on crime, they're just soft on immigration, they just kind of don't get it. If they really understood, they would change their ways. Imagine being a big enough idiot to actually believe that. They're not soft on immigration. The communist leaders of Western civilization, not just the Democrats in America, the Labor Party in the UK, this is Germany, France, the communist leaders of Western civilization have spent years on a very, very focused, very, very purposeful plan to import foreign barbarians in order to loot the treasury and burn their countries down. It has been insanely successful, and we will never be able to properly oppose these people as long as we continue to use terms like soft on immigration. When I saw this headline, I almost punched the freaking wall. And when I hear people say they're soft on crime after some dirtball communist judge from India turns loose a felon for his 50th offense and he goes on to burn a woman to death on the subway, and I see people allegedly, quote, on the right, these soft on crime policies, when I hear that term, it makes me want to lose my freaking mind. Drop the childlike fantasies, please. We have evil demons in our country. They are doing all the things demons do for the same reason demons do it. Set aside the rainbow brightness, please, and let's focus on reality. Call a demon a demon. Call a spade. They're not soft on anything. Your mind is soft. That's the problem. Now that I got my blood pressure up, let's go talk about Pearl Harbor, Medal of Honor Monday time. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.